Listeners, and welcome to another Adventure in Advanced Living Radio. This is Kenneth Lesser, thrilled and delighted to be your host again today. And you know we've made a commitment here. We're going to bring you value each and every week, ways to help your life flow and grow, to help you deal with the demands of life that have been there since the beginning of time. And of course, today we're faced with some particularly unique situations. But I make a prayer every day to be in support. I say, Heavenly Father, show me the best ways to have the most fun inspiring the largest number of people to easily, naturally, joyously experience vibrantly, exquisitely, healthy, wealthy, passionate living in the shortest amount of time with the least intrusion into their lives. After all, you want your time to yourself. And why do we do that? So we can all get our needs met and celebrate a global loving community that works for everyone. Yes, a mighty goal, but step by step, we're going to get there. Absolutely get there. And one of the things that's going to help us to do that is having ways to manage stress. And I want to, before we get into our guest today, I want to let you know that our program, Advanced Living Radio, is sponsored by AdvancedLiving.com, featuring the Comfort Clock. And so we invite you to go visit AdvancedLiving.com and check out this item that Jack Canfield and Michael Beckwith and a bunch of doctors and lots of good folks like you and I are going to just love, because you plug it in and your life gets better. And there's just so much good to it. But you check that out on your own. We want to give our guests as much time as possible today. And, oh, boy, if you've got too much stress, and if you don't, we have some, and you need more, we have volunteers out there who will give you some of their stress. But get ready, we've got a treat. Yes, a wonderful woman, Kelsey Kenneflick. Yes, is that a fun name to say or what? Well, Kelsey is not just a fun name to say. She has worked with thousands over the last 15 years and successfully teaching them how to eliminate their symptoms of stress naturally. This is without drugs, without all kinds of pharmaceutical stuff. It is just wonderful. And she's worked on things from headaches to high blood pressure, and she comes to us from that fabulous city, Boulder, Colorado. And she is an award-winning author and a professional speaker on the topic of stress. Now, she doesn't stress people out when she speaks to them, of course. She is going to make us have... Oh, and she recently released her second book, yeah, I love this, The Stress Mess, How to Thrive in Turbulent Times. And yes, we've got those. And she is also the author of the highly acclaimed book, Migraines Be Gone. And that we're going to learn a little bit about today, too. In addition, she is presenting seminars. She's doing keynote speeches on stress management. And she has a private practice for biofeedback in Boulder where she specializes in treating people with physical symptoms of stress. So, I can't wait. We got things to learn here from our guests. So, Kelsey, come on in and help us out.
All right, Kenneth. Thank you so much for having me here today. I really do appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. And as you know, things are getting pretty stressful in the world. And I'm just wondering, how is this increase in stress affecting people?
Well, you know, stress has really, truly become a global epidemic. We're all going through enormous changes right now, and in fact, so many changes that it's just hard for people to adjust, and many people are starting to feel overwhelmed, and they just don't know what to do, and all the stress is affecting people's health. We're seeing more insomnia, more anxiety, panic attacks, and so on. On a social level, there's a dramatic increase in domestic violence and suicide, reflecting just how stressed people are, how overwhelmed people are right now. But the good news is that you can learn how to control your reaction to stress. And you can learn how to keep the body healthy and the mind clear even with this stress. So I like to tell people that stress management is an inside job. It used to be that when we were stressed, many people would turn to outside fixes. They'd go on a vacation or, they'd go shopping to relieve their stress. But this just isn't possible for a lot of people nowadays. So we have to realize that there are things in life that we can't control, and there are things that we can control, and there are other things that we have some influence over. So I think, especially in times of upheaval and uncertainty, that it's really helpful to identify the things that we do have control over and build on those things. So I suggest that people start managing their stress by working with the body and the mind, because this is where you have control. And to make your focus the inner game of stress management, and this will help you to just stay more positive and more empowered through the challenges we all face.
Okay. So if I heard you correctly, if each of us sat down, and if a friend comes over or if a stranger approaches us, whoever is willing to listen to us, we're going to tell them what's stressing us out. Hi, how are you? Well, let me tell you. and we proceed to tell them everything, ache and pain, this, that, the other stuff. Not everyone does that, but it's a frequent thing. We want to release this pressure and hopefully verbalize it. Well, we can always, because it shortens our list of friends if we keep doing that to people. So what we might do is, I'm thinking, maybe is to make a list. What's stressing me out? And just put it down on a piece of paper. List everything. It's the dog. It's the cat. It's the neighbor. It's the paint on the ceiling. It's whatever. It's the government. It's the global warming. It's polar bears. You name it. Anything and all. And then you've kind of given us a way to separate them into categories. And we could put a letter by each one, right? I mean, because you said that there's stuff that we have some influence over and stuff we have no influence over.
Right, exactly.
And is that helpful?
Yes, I think that is helpful to get it out, whether it's talking to a friend or writing it down. And there's another list I would ask people to make, too, in addition to that list. And first, I'd like to have your listeners grab a sheet of paper and a pen, if they could, because I'm going to be giving them a lot of tips throughout the show, a lot of good ways to start managing their stress. And since we're talking about lists, here's the first tip.
Did you hear that paper rustling in the background?
Yeah, you hear that paper. Good, you're doing it.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
The first tip is to make a list of 20 things that help you to relax. And I'm not going to have you make the list now. Just put down the idea now. To make that list and start doing something every single day that will help you to relax your mind and body. maybe it's taking a walk or a bubble bath or listening to relaxing music, meditating or doing yoga if you do that. It's different things work for different people, but write your ideas down. Little things can help a lot, and start doing something every single day that will help you to relax your body and mind.
Oh, okay. Well, gee, this is good. All right. And so we're all poised and ready to, as different items come up. And now I'm curious, because sometimes people get into a particular field because something in their life led them to that. And I don't know, how did you get interested in stress management?
Very interesting story. About 30 years ago, when I first started teaching school, I was in upstate New York at the time and was hired to teach handicapped teenagers. And I didn't realize that I was being hired to teach handicapped teenagers. Now, in retrospect, I can look back on it and say, I remember the principal using initials like EMR, TMR, ED, LD, and learned later that that stood for emotionally disturbed, learning disabled, and so on. But I had no training in this. So on my second day of school, I was sitting at my desk, 22 years old, and all of a sudden I feel this cold blade at my throat. And I knew who it was. I had heard about this young man. He was being transported from New York City to upstate New York, and his name was Danny. And I looked at him and I said, "Danny, put that knife away, and I don't ever want to see that again." And he started laughing. He thought it was very funny, and he said to me, "It's not a knife, it's a switchblade." Oh. And he laughed. He thought it was perfect because it made him laugh. He thought it was very endearing that this teacher in upstate New York did not know the difference between a knife and a switchblade.
Yes.
And so it was actually my career as a school teacher that inspired me to learn anything and everything I could about managing my stress. And eventually I left teaching and went back to school to become a biofeedback therapist, as you know, so that I could teach others what I had learned to do.
Right. And I guess somewhere, I don't know if it's in one of your books, there's probably some discourse on different types of cutlery.
Well, I guess there should be, at least for the teachers.
Yes,
sadly.
Well, good. Well, that worked out. Obviously, you lived through the Danny, the knife at the throat experience, and are now much better prepared for folks. If anything that could stress you out is not knowing what those little initials mean when you're interviewing for a job or if you're getting something. So
right.
no more surprise initials is one of the lessons that we've got here. But anyway, so that's kind of launched you into this whole thing. Now,
that's right.
Now you say that is the primary reason that people suffer from stress-induced illnesses is because their nervous system is over-aroused. I mean, normally I like the idea of arousal and maybe some even over-arousal, but this nervous system thing takes it to another level. So we want to find out, how can someone tell if their nervous system is too stimulated?
Well, there are certain indications in your body that will tell you if your nervous system is being taxed. And so I'd like to start by having your listeners ask themselves three questions right now. First, do you have a tendency towards cold hands and feet? Second, do you have stiffness or tension in your shoulders or neck? And finally, does your mind ever seem to race out of control? And we're going to come back to why each of these symptoms is a sign of stress and how they can lead to physical problems. But let me give people one more tip right now, and that would be with the breathing. So I would ask them to write this down. We can really calm the nervous system if we learn how to breathe properly. And I don't have time to get into all the details about it, but I have one little trick that works well. And if they take their hands and interlace their fingers behind their neck and bring the elbows back, it will cause them to breathe diaphragmatically. It will cause them to breathe deeply the way they should, and it will really calm them down. So you could do this even sitting at a desk, sitting at your computer, and you interlace the fingers, bring the elbows back. Of course, you could do it lying down and let the elbows drop to the floor. That would be another way. And then clock yourself. See how many breaths you're breathing. You want to try to slow it down to about 6 breaths per minute. That will really help to calm and heal the nervous system. So just use a secondhand clock or watch. Get it down to 6 breaths per minute and do that for 5 or 10 minutes, and you'll be amazed how much that can calm your whole system down.
Wow.
And it works really well.
Yeah.
And I had one patient actually who was seeing me for high blood pressure, and she was breathing 30 breaths per minute, which is horrible for the autonomic nervous system. We'll get into the autonomic nervous system in a little bit, but she was breathing 30 breaths per minute. Now, most people breathe around 16, 17 but we want to get it down to 6. Well, she said, I'll never get it to 6, and I said, don't worry, if you get it down to 10 or 12, you've done your nervous system a great service. She actually got it down to 5 breaths per minute and told me a few months later that she had completely brought her asthma under control by learning how to breathe properly. And she was no longer taking these inhalants that people sometimes take with asthma. And I wasn't even treating her for asthma, but just knowing how to breathe right is key. Really key.
Wow. That's huge. Plus, I like, because a number of people will tell you, well, take some deep, slow breaths.
Mm-hmm.
And adding the piece in about clasp your hands behind your neck, that helps posturally to make it easier to do the deeper breathing.
Exactly, because a lot of people don't know how to do it. When you say breathe deep, a lot of people will start breathing deep in their chest, which we call thoracic breathing, which is bad for your nervous system. And I've actually had a number of professional singers over the years come to me for biofeedback, and they were not breathing properly. And they said, all these years people were saying breathe diaphragmatically, but no one ever told me how to do it or what it felt like. So there's a simple way to get the feeling of diaphragmatic breathing.
Oh, wow. I'm telling you, diaphragms of the world unite. We are not going to put up with shallow breathing. This is because Kelsey's here to help us.
That's right.
So on behalf of the nervous system and diaphragms that aren't getting enough energy and enough attention, we now know, get those hands clasped behind your neck. And you do this before the officer tells you to. No, that's not it. That's another thing of being arrested. Sorry, wrong program. But that's another form of stress. Anyway, yeah. But this is great. I so appreciate, and our listeners do, Kelsey, too, that we can be playful, because stress is such a intense matter. And it's so nice that you have a playful way of helping to deliver this important information. So, we got to know more. So part of it, we're figuring out still, I think, a bit on if our nervous system is too stimulated.
Mm-hmm.
And so part of it is the breathing, if we're breathing rapidly.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then is there other stuff we should look for?
Oh, lots of other things. Let me talk a little bit about the fight or flight response first, if that's okay.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I'm telling you, because you know how to handle stress, and so we're going to let you lead this wherever you want it to go.
Okay. I think it will give your listeners a better understanding of why all these tips are so important and why they make sense if they understand the fight or flight response. So this is a mechanism that our bodies developed thousands of years ago when we had real physical dangers that we were encountering, lions, tigers, bears, and other tribes. And the body had to respond quickly and have strength and cope with these physical stressors. And even today, we sometimes have physical stressors if you had to run into a burning house to save a loved one, or you've probably heard stories of a woman lifting a car up off her trapped child. Normally she wouldn't have the strength, but when she goes into the fight or flight response, she does. So our bodies respond, unfortunately, in the same way to psychological stressors as they do to physiological threats. So we go into high gear. The adrenaline, which is a powerful hormone, pumps into the bloodstream, and you know, whether the stress is a traffic jam or a deadline, we have a huge amount of psychological stressors nowadays, or the economy, as the case may be. And most people in our culture do not even know what normal tension in their body feels like. So that's the fight or flight response. And so a number of changes happen physically in the fight or flight response. For example, the muscles in the neck and shoulders tighten up. And usually this is the first place that muscle tension goes in the body. And the reason this happens is because every animal, including human animals, has an unconscious instinct to protect the throat. So the neck and shoulders tense up. And that's because, you know, again, animals are usually attacked at the throat, and we are human animals. So we don't think about it in that way. But that's one way that the body responds to stress. So here's another tip. To get your neck and shoulder muscles more relaxed. And so make sure you're sitting properly at the computer. Always have good lumbar support, whether you're at the computer or in your car. Get a massage or do yoga. And just keep dropping the tension out of your shoulders. And your listeners might do that right now and see if they can let the shoulders drop, imagining that they're heavy and loose and limp like a rag doll. And at the same time, imagine there's a string on the top of your head that's gently lifting upwards. So you're gently lengthening through the spine, and the spine supports the weight of your body, so your shoulders can just drop and relax. So there's another tip. And there's a lot of other changes that happen in the fight or flight response as we go into high gear. I want to mention the autonomic nervous system. Have you ever heard of that?
Let's see. Help us understand, because there's autonomic and then there's sympathetic, parasympathetic. There's a number of these terms that some of the professionals have used from time to time. Would you help clarify that for us?
Sure. Right. You're on the right track. You've looked at the book. So the autonomic nervous system is the part of the nervous system that's not usually consciously controlled, and it's often called involuntary or automatic. For example, your heart rate. You don't usually consciously control your heart rate, but if you have a fast heart rate or an irregular heart rate, we know that we hook you up to instruments and get the feedback on the computer screen and teach you how to control your heart rate. Circulation is another thing that changes under stress that we could teach you to control. Blood pressure. Of course, your breathing changes under stress. Sweat gland activity. We call this galvanic skin response when we measure it. Brainwave activity. Even digestion shuts down. So these are all things controlled by the autonomic nervous system. And if we had to think about these things all day long, we'd never get anything done.
No.
So the body takes care of it for itself.
Wow. Excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's a good thing. Now it says, you know, that the mind causes more stress to the body than all the other stressors combined. So, wow, that's a biggie. Could you say more about that and what a person
sure.
can do about a stressed mind?
Yeah, yeah. You know, Kenneth, every thought creates not only a chemical change in our brain, but it also creates an electrical change in our nervous system. And our thoughts cause our emotions. So if you're feeling fearful, for example, fear would be the emotion or the feeling in the body. And then what you want to do is find the thought that caused that emotion. So the thoughts go deeper than the feelings, and that's what we want to work with is the thoughts. So let me give you a few examples from my book. I have my book is made of 12 lessons, and one of the lessons is using your thoughts to heal and how to tap into the power of your mind. And it's really quite simple. This is something your listeners can do at home. So when you notice you have a stressful thought, and you might notice the emotion first, but get in touch with the stressful thought, and then you're going to make a positive affirmation to replace that negative one with. So here's one that a lot of people are thinking nowadays. I never have enough money. And one positive affirmation might be, all my needs are taken care of in this moment. I can relax. Or another one might be, I am grateful for the prosperity I have in my life. Here's another stressful thought. Managing your stress is really great for people with chronic or acute pain because stress exacerbates the pain. It makes it worse. So I work a lot with pain patients, and here's one that relates to them. It's so unfair that I feel pain. I hate my body sometimes. I hear this a lot. A positive affirmation might be, I am patient with my body as I move through my healing process. Or, I choose to be empowered. I am not a victim. I listen to my body. The body doesn't lie. And how do I find...
Yeah.
A couple more. Here's a couple more real quick, and then I'll get a sense of how they can continue with this. Here's a stressful thought. That really shouldn't have happened to me. And you could replace
why
that.
Why me?
Yeah, why me? This shouldn't be happening to me or to my bank account.
Yeah.
I trust that I am always in the right place at the right time, doing exactly the right thing, or everything is in perfect divine order. And let me give you one last one. Here's a stressful thought. I hate taking medications. And I hear this one a lot. If you hate taking medications, you're going to have frustration. And that's emotion of frustration is really damaging in the body. It's damaging chemically and damaging to your nervous system. So I have people replace it with something like this. I am grateful for my medications, or I am patient while I work to release the need for medications. If you can release the need for them, very often with chronic pain or headaches, they can learn how to control the chronic pain or headaches and then get off the medications. So here's another tip. Whenever you have a stressful thought, catch it. And it may be a thought in your head or it may be one that you vocalized out loud, but catch it and keep a journal of you might put your stressful thoughts on one side and then on the other side of the journal put your positive thoughts that you're going to replace the stressful thoughts with. And work with those positive thoughts daily. It can take 30 days to change to the new belief, to the new thought, so that becomes your new belief. And so what we're wanting to do is create new habits, not just in the body with the breathing and so on, but also creating new habits in the mind. So So get those positive thoughts going.
Okay, and the 30 days is a it can be adequate to help that to become a new habit.
Yeah, 30 days can work if people are consistent with it. And I have people, one thing I do, and your listeners could do this too, I have them put a few dots up where they'll see them a lot, and like in their car or in their day timer. And every time they see a dot, they just repeat that affirmation to themselves, the positive affirmation. So they're programming it in almost as if your mind is a computer and you are removing the negative stuff and you're putting the positive stuff in. And it's so easy to get negative nowadays if you're watching the news a lot, watching television. Here's another tip. You might turn the television off a little bit more. That'll help you make you feel better.
Okay. So if you're watching TV and you're not laughing, change channels or turn it off.
That's right.
Because it's stressing you out unnecessarily. Wow, okay. Probably there's a class there on how to change channels or how to just turn the thing off, because as a country, the people are watching a huge amount of TV normally.
Right.
And we know that not a lot of that content is really de-stressing or uplifting to them, unfortunately. So I like this thing about make that list of stressful thoughts, notice them when they come up, not judging them, not, oh, darn, I had that stressful thought.
Right.
Just, oh, there it was. Okay, make a note of that. Okay, do not put the cat in the dryer anymore, you know, or whatever. And then to change that to what would be a positive. So that's just got to be a helpful. And I'm thinking that some of us sometimes have so much that you're saying this, and it's like, my God, my list would be 50 pages long. That would stress me out making that list. Kathy, what do I do?
Breathe. Well, it's true.
Behind your neck, folks.
That's right. It's absolutely true what you say. Our minds can race, and we can have so many thoughts that it might seem overwhelming. So just start by taking one at a time. And I liked what you said, Kenneth, about, I don't remember exactly how you worded it, but imagine that the thoughts are like a little bit distant from you. They're not quite so close. You notice them, oh, it's floating on by. Oh, look at that thought. But without quite so much attachment to it, just becoming aware of the thoughts.
Ah, okay. Okay, so you can, we can now get a new job. And we can promote ourselves to thought observer.
That's right. It could take 24 hours a day. Because that is the nature of the mind. It's a never-ending stream of thought. And that's just simply the nature of the human mind.
Okay. But when we can, like you say, get a little distance and just notice it versus, my gosh, I'm thinking a thought. I got to do something about it.
Right.
It's like, well, I like to just get to notice it. Oh, look, there's that thought. Now, what kind of thought was that versus what do I do about it?
Right.
Wow, that's big to be able to kind of change the context between, well, I have to do something about this versus, well, we're checking here because we've got a category of thoughts here. Now, is this one of those stressful thoughts or is this one of those thoughts that's going to be uplifting to me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we can make some of those notes, and it's nice to know we don't have to make the entire list all at once.
Yes, that could go on for years.
Because I'm guessing that for some of us, we may have, like, you know, when you fly an airplane, they give you frequent flyer miles. We might have frequent thinker thoughts that are like the same thing has been bugging us, and those, I don't know if those are any more important to address than other ones, or how do we prioritize?
Yeah, that's a good point. I think that would be good to take those recurring thoughts first and work with them.
Okay.
Yeah, so if you have worries or fears especially that continue to go through your mind, you know, take a look at them. What are those thoughts? They are damaging your health, and you may not realize it, or you may. Maybe you're already noticing you have insomnia or anxiety, panic attacks. Some people get stomach aches or irritable bowel syndrome. Some people hold their tension in their jaw, and they get TMJ disorders. And people are noticing more and more of these symptoms as the stress in the world is heating up. So, some of your listeners may notice the stress already. And even if you don't, it's a good time to start working with these things to prevent the stress from getting to be too much in your body or mind.
Yeah. Now there's a rumor out there that in one of your philanthropic moments, you have offered to give away a free relaxation CD.
I did. How did you know that?
Oh, my gosh. Well, the word's out, folks. tell everyone you know, but we're all heading for Kelsey's place. There will be a buffet as well as this free CD. or... In case, because we know that notice Kelsey hasn't given us her address yet, is there another way that we could actually get our hands on this?
On the free CD?
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. In fact, I wanted to offer a special to your listeners today who would like to get either the Stress Mess or the Migraines Be Gone book, and I will send them a free CD with the book. And they can go to my website, which is naturallystressfree.com, and they need to be sure to mention that they heard the interview on BBS. And I will be sending them a free CD.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
And they will totally love the CD. It's called Calming the Body, Stilling the Mind. And it's a great place to start with your stress. There's nature sounds in the background, and it's very calming and relaxing. When I have patients that tell me they wake up in the middle of the night, they'll put the CD on, and it will put them right back to sleep.
Oh, okay. That's not like a pride of lions going after wildebeest nature sounds, is it?
No.
Okay.
Birds and rainforest sounds.
Oh, okay.
Or no, I take that back. It's actually ocean sounds. Sorry.
Okay. Ocean. I just wanted to hear you say something really soothing, so that's prompting you in that direction. Oh, yeah, nice ocean sounds. Oh, folks, doesn't that sound good? We could just drift off listening to Kelsey's CD and go on to. Now, is that the naturallypainfree.com site, or is there a different one?
Yes, Naturally Pain Free will take them to the same place. I work with chronic pain and headache patients, so I have Naturally Pain Free and Naturally Stress Free, so either site will take them there.
Okay, yeah. So you have to first at home decide, is it stress, is it pain? and then after you've made that decision, then you go to naturallystressfree.com or naturallypainfree.com. Is that it?
That's right.
Oh,
and either one will get them there.
Okay. That's good. So, Kelsey, this is great. And they can order your book, The Stress Mess, as well as Migraines Be Gone. And, that's wonderful.
Yes, and I want your listeners to know that the stress mess is not just about the mess. It's really about going beyond the stress mess and learning how to control the stress in your body and mind. So it's actually a program in 7 steps. I have 12 lessons in there that will take them through step by step so they can learn how to control their nervous system, their autonomic nervous system, to eliminate whatever symptoms of stress they're having.
Oh, okay.
And the same with Migraines Be Gone. It's actually a program that they can do to eliminate their migraines or other types of headaches.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, I think that's great because I know years ago I had heard the psychologist talk about that a lot of headaches were related to tension in our neck and not allowing a good blood flow to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, the idea was to relax the headache away before it hurt so much that you couldn't relax and had to
yes.
take drugs. And so I know your work with biofeedback, some people are familiar with it, and we kind of get an idea, well, biofeedback, yeah, I know, but just in case someone was not familiar, really, can you help a bit more with that and how you utilize that in your work? Is that in part of your
yeah.
book? Or how? Please.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In biofeedback, what we do is we attach instruments to the patient's body, and we measure internal workings of the body that they don't usually consciously control. And then we see that on the computer screen. Biofeedback is actually short for biological feedback, and that's what we're getting. Now, if someone stepped on a scale to weigh themselves, they're actually getting a simplistic form of biofeedback, or as I mentioned earlier, clock your breaths per minute, and that's a simple form of biofeedback. And then we coach the person how to bring their readings to where we want them to eliminate the symptoms they're having. So some of the things we measure are heart rate, respiration, blood pressure, muscle tension, sweat gland activity, and so on. But just to give you an example of how I might use it with a headache patient, they always have excess muscle tension in their neck and shoulders. So I may hook up this instrument called an EMG, which is an electromyogram, and I may attach it to their shoulders, one on the right shoulder, one on the left. And normal muscle tension for the shoulders is 1.2 microvolts or less. Well, very often I have people with headaches and they're up at 3, 4, or even 5 microvolts of tension there. I've even seen people at 15 microvolts of tension. So I would coach them as they're looking at the computer screen. I'd have them correct their posture as they're sitting, especially important for people who work on computers, correct their posture as they're standing, and just help them to relax their shoulders down to normal muscle tension to help eliminate the symptoms. And you know, Kenneth, some cultures have known for centuries that we have this control over the internal functions in our bodies. The yogis, of course, in India have practiced this for thousands of years, and in our scientifically based culture, it really took biofeedback to scientifically prove it. But Dr. Elmer Green, who's the founding father of medical biofeedback, did a lot of work and a lot of research through the Menninger Institute on the yogis. And he is a delightful, brilliant man, Dr. Elmer Green. And I remember in the 90s doing a class with him, and he showed a video. He was in India, and he had this yogi hooked up to an EKG because he wanted to show that we do have control over our heart. So it was very cute. The yogi said to Elmer, "I will stop my heartbeat for 10 minutes, and then I will start it up again." And Elmer replied, "Oh no, that's not necessary. How about I randomly lift one finger and you just skip one beat when I lift the finger?" And so that's what the yogi did. And every time Elmer lifted his finger, the yogi skipped a heartbeat, and you could see that he clearly had control over his heartbeat. And you know, we all have this kind of control. We just haven't been trained in it, but we can learn how to have this control. So any body situation that you have that was either created by stress or exacerbated by stress, so fibromyalgia, for example, I have great results with people with fibromyalgia and chronic pain because stress makes their situation worse. I've worked with a few people who had epileptic seizures, and their seizures were triggered by stress, and they brought their seizures under control. So we have an enormous amount of control, and they're learnable skills. Everyone can learn this stuff.
Wow. Now, I'm guessing, because there's equipment involved, that people have to come to your office, right?
Well, that would be the ideal, but the reason I wrote the books is so that people anywhere can go through this program, because I have a very, very effective program, and I do get emails and phone calls from people around the country who told me that they've completely eliminated their migraines or other symptoms, that they've completely got off their medications just by working with the program in the book alone. Of course, they can buy some simple home biofeedback units from my website, and a few people do phone consultations with me. I'm working with someone in California right now, and a few other people around the country who just want some coaching every week as they move through the program. So they have the book, they have a little home biofeedback unit, and then they ask me questions and I guide them through the whole program. So people can do it very successfully and very inexpensively wherever they are.
Okay. Well, wow, this is great. So that there's different levels to participate. Just get the books and read them. Then there's some different equipment, and I see that one item is $34.95, another is $39.95. So compared to open heart surgery, this is is pretty affordable.
That's right. And it's a lot more pleasant, too.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, when that way you can be in stitches from laughing at jokes, not from a surgery procedure.
That's right.
Okay. Oh, this is good. I like that, Kelsey.
Yeah, I like the quote on the bottom of the homepage. It sounds like you're right on my website. One of my patients said this, and I asked him if I could use it because I loved it. He said, this is better than Vicodin. And this was someone who was in a lot of pain from a car accident, and he was able to control his pain better through doing biofeedback with me than he could with Vicodin at some point and without all the side effects. So I said, oh, that's a great quote. This is better than Vicodin.
Yeah. Now, well, one of the things that I'm thinking about as we tie some of these pieces together, because we were talking about the importance of the mind and thought, and what I'm guessing, and I'd like you to help us to learn, is that if we're learning to do some of the biofeedback, does that help us to gain more awareness of and control over our thought process?
Oh, absolutely. You know, if you calm the body with biofeedback skills, your mind is going to begin to calm down and relax too. And you can work it from the other direction. If you learn how to calm and still the mind, the body will follow. They're very intimately connected. And this is one of the first things people notice when they're hooked up to biofeedback instruments, is the mind-body connection. When you think a stressful thought and you watch the readings on the computer screen, you instantly see the effect it has on your body and how it can create disease.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's important. Now, you'd mentioned earlier one of the ways that we can notice if there's extra tension in the body is that we might have cold hands or feet.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, on a very hot day, having cold hands or feet can be a gift to a friend.
Right.
Really steaming away, but generally, cold hands and feet aren't considered like a blessing. And
no, they're not, because what's happening when you tend to have cold hands and feet is that your arteries are constricting. And going back to that fight or flight response for a moment, when the arteries constrict, this is actually the body's amazing way of trying to protect itself in times of danger, because if you were to be attacked and cut, you would bleed less if your arteries were constricted. But the problem is that a lot of people constrict their arteries, again, with psychological stressors, and this can create vascular diseases like migraines or high blood pressure. So what people with migraines need to understand, and by the way, one out of every eight people gets migraines, so I'm sure everyone out there knows somebody with migraines, so you can pass this information on to them. They constrict their arteries under stress, but that is not when they usually get the headache, let's say the migraine headache. There are other symptoms as well. But when they dilate their arteries, or when their arteries open up and they begin to relax, then boom, they get a migraine because they constricted too much and then they over-dilate the arteries. And they need to learn how to keep their arteries dilated or open to prevent the migraines. So they need to warm their hands and feet. You mentioned about the little biofeedback units. That one you mentioned is like $35 or something. It measures the temperature on the surface of your skin so that we can see how relaxed your arteries are. And so I teach people how to warm their hands and feet, and in this way they're controlling their circulation. And I simply do this by attaching this little thermistor to the top of their hand or to their fingertips. Sometimes I'll start on the top of their hand so they don't get too frustrated, and I'll move it down to their fingertip. And I'll train them to bring their hands to their surface skin temperature to 93 degrees or higher and to keep it there. And that's what they need to do to prevent the migraines. So, of course, inside your body, your temperature is approximately 98.6. On the surface, we want it 93 or higher. People with migraines tend to have cold hands and feet, and other people who get stressed sometimes do, even if they don't get migraines. But sometimes they'll be starting out with a surface skin temperature of 80 or 82, and that's a lot of constriction. So, Kenneth, do you remember the mood rings in the 60s?
Oh, yes, depending upon the temperature, the color of the stone in the ring would change.
Exactly. So it worked in the same principle. It was measuring your surface skin temperature, and let's say it turned blue and your arteries were completely dilated. People would say you were in a good mood because people didn't think this out, but your autonomic nervous system was relaxed, your arteries were dilated, and of course if we're relaxed, we're going to be in a better mood. But in fact, the Today Show had an interesting show a couple of weeks ago, and it was about insomnia. And they said one solution is to warm your hands and feet. I had a lot of people going to my website to buy this little unit when they saw this, and they didn't really tell people how to do it or exactly what it was doing in the body. But they said you need to train yourself and warm your hands and feet. So essentially what they were teaching people telling people to do is to shift your circulation, and then you're shifting out of the sympathetic nervous system, which you mentioned before, that's the fight or flight response, the sympathetic, into the parasympathetic where you're relaxed, and then you'll fall back to sleep.
Oh, wow. Excellent. One of the things we're just about to wrap up. I want to help remind our listeners of the ways they can reach you, because they may want to make a phone consultation, and I think you'd give them permission to use this phone number, 303-247-0047. Is that right?
That's right. You got it.
Okay. Or your website, www.naturallystressfree.com, or naturallypainfree.com, depending upon which one more resonates with your current needs. And that way they have access to your books, the wonderful book for the migraines, Migraine Be Gone, and the other book, The Stress Myth. So, Kelsey, I just want to take time to thank you, because you've given our listeners some real valuable content to help us, as well as opening up a pathway. We can get some simple low-cost equipment, or we can just get your book or the book and the equipment. We can do phone consultations. We can move to Boulder.
That's a great idea.
There you go, and come to you directly. Wow. Well, just as we wrap up, I just want to say thank you so much for being here and sharing with our listeners today, and just wish you all the best with your wonderful career and success with your books. And to my beloved listeners, I want to thank you again for tuning in each week. More value here at Advanced Living Radio to help you to make your life a little better, a little less stressed. Step by step, we're here to make that journey with you an easier, healthier journey.
Well, thank you, Kenneth, so much for having me. I sincerely appreciate it. And the one thing I want your listeners to remember is that stress management really is an inside job.
All right. Well, and with that, we'll wrap up. And to you, Kelsey, and to my beloved listeners, we say thank you for being part of this program. And have a wonderful week. Until we meet again, may God bless you. And goodbye for now. Let's go.